In a world of podcasts, one rises in the night to destroy them all. The elder god in an ocean of noise, the Cthulhu of the airwaves. This is Spoiler Country.
Two oh three, buddy. 203.8.
Nice. I was
within a month. I should be under 200, which hasn't happened since 18.
Right.
18.
I'm sitting at 190.4 right now.
That's crazy. 190.4,
which is I haven't been one in the 190s since like 16.
Yeah. It's kind of nutty. Hey, welcome back to Spoiler Country. I'm Kenny.
Welcome back.
That up there. I think you're up there. Well, you're up there right now. You know what I hate? That's Johnny Horsley. What I hate is I'll get, like, I'll edit this, right? Or maybe you'll edit it. One of us will edit it. But when I look at it, all of a sudden, the boxes are in different areas.
So if it should be, what it should do is however you see it, since you're recording, that's how it records. So if you see it with us on top of each other, it records that way. Because when I record on my Zoom, you know, if like you're here and I'm here, it records it that way. Isn't moving around. But that's how it works for me.
Yeah, I swear to God, there's been times where I'll get this back and it'll transcode and then I'll look at the file and I'll be on top.
No, it's weird.
Like right now, you're you know, it has your box on top.
So you're that way.
Well, I think that's well, because if I manipulate how wide and how all that. Yeah. So if people don't know, Johnny and I have been on it's not a weight loss journey because it just kind of we didn't go, let's do this.
No, it's a health journey, honestly.
Yeah. And it was just like, I'm just kind of sick of it. I was looking at video, like when I interviewed Thomas Jane, or when I interviewed Tommy Garland.
Yeah.
Oh, so fat.
Dude, I see pictures. So fat. I see old videos and pictures of it, and I'm like, how? I didn't feel like I was that big. I didn't look at myself and
think myself that. Back then, I didn't feel that big.
Yeah. And now I look at it, I'm like, I mean, my kids, my daughters, last night, Sadie and Tegan were like, I don't want to be mean, but I don't recognize the old you anymore because it just looks like a different person.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, like, yeah. Yeah. We went on a excursion to Whidbey Island like a month ago. And Ella and I started running through this field. She's like, You're running. I was like, wait. I ran. I mean,
it was a little slower, but
regardless. But yeah, it's been awesome. A crazy, crazy thing. And
I feel so much better.
Yeah, you lost like I still have a big ass gut and it's driving me nuts.
Yeah.
Driving me insane.
For some reason I don't. So
yeah, you just went away.
Yeah. Well, I carry my weight all over my body. So like everything just gets bigger. And then you carry your weight mostly in your gut.
My gut and chest. Moves in the stomach.
The moves, stomach, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like but when I lose weight, it all gets lost right here.
Yeah. Dude, my face is, I have cheekbones.
Yeah.
Like, there's bones there.
Yeah.
People watching probably like, these guys are dorks. What the hell?
Yeah. Total dorks. That's all right. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care either. It feels good.
It does feel good.
Like I literally lost a child.
Yeah.
6 pounds.
Fat. I've lost 120 pounds, dude. Since January.
I mean, that's just ridiculous. I
shouldn't say
retarded, but that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's been awesome. But in the meantime, we are creating, which is crazy.
Oh yeah. That's been fun too.
Yeah. So September 12th, this is the first time we've put out some promos for it.
Yeah. But first of all, you're talking about
actually said it. September 12th is the launch date for Supernatural Baby Detective.
The greatest comic funny. You haven't read yet.
Yeah. That's so funny. That title, dude.
Makes me laugh.
It makes me laugh. I love that title. I get people like, oh, the title. Oh, no, no, no. And it's like, what?
It brings you and you're like, wait, what?
Yeah. A
baby detective?
Well, most of the time it's, well, what happens when that baby starts growing? It's a comic book. Peter Parker was in his high school years for what? 15 years?
Right. He'll be a baby forever. Perpetual baby. It's fine. It's fine.
Don't worry about it.
Or, well, right, supernatural toddler detective.
Yeah. Or they know something I don't.
Right.
Like, I feel like I'm going to do these four issues and I don't know. That might be it.
Yeah. I mean, you have tons of other ideas too.
I do. And so do you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, you got a lot going on. I don't know.
It's been interesting. I've written so much stuff. You've written a bunch of stuff. I haven't really drawn much stuff, but I do a lot of digital stuff these days, like on the computer and stuff like that. So I've done a lot of that. I haven't done hardly any like actual pencil to paper drawing, which that's what I like to do is traditional drawing, but I just haven't had time because as people know, I'm very ADHD because I talk fast. I do things crazily weird, but most of how I create and write and do all the stuff for your book, Kenrick, is I do it while I'm doing other stuff.
Like, yeah.
I'll do it while I'm doing my budget or doing my taxes. I'll do it while I'm working sometimes. You know, I'll just, my brain does two things at once. So I'll be like every page of Supernatural Baby Detective that I colored was done while doing something else. Like every single one of them. Because I just can't focus on
thanks for the focus thing. Man
yeah well, I just can't focus on one thing. I don't know anyways, it's been fun like actually creating things and like seeing things come to fruition. I've released as of today, as of recording this, I've released two issues of Gentleman Only fully. Third one's coming soon on the 6th of September.
I will be sitting watching TV. I'll see your ad, and all I see is Joan Lee Nonley. And all I think about now when I see that name is that your grandfather getting that credit card. And I lose it. I start giggling, man. I like literally start giggling because I can just imagine opening up the letter, going, I got my credit card, open up. What the fuck?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean,
J only. And only.
Only knownly. It's such a stupid series, but the series makes me happy. So
does it bother you when I compare it to Trailer Park Boys?
No, I've never seen Trailer Park Boys.
What?
So I don't even know what that means. I've never seen the show. So I've seen memes, I've seen clips. I know of it, but I've never watched an episode. The only thing I've ever seen is like clips on TikTok and shit.
I think you would enjoy it. Kaylee would not.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Because it's live action South Park.
Yeah.
Another good example of John Lee Only comic vein.
Yeah.
Not the same, but in the same vein.
Yeah.
Arena.
I like to think of John Lee Only as irreverent and educational at the same time. Because it's jokes that make no sense, but you're going to learn something because I always put something I just learned in every comic. Every comic has some kind of lesson.
As a social rant.
Yeah.
A rant. Because
it does have social rants for sure. I literally just wrote one all about trans rights. And I was like, why am I doing this? I'm like, six pages on trans rights. Okay. Sounds good.
Six pages?
Six pages.
Oh God.
I don't know. Oh my God. Once I started, it's folks flowing out of me, you know. I don't know. Right now, I'm writing a rap battle between a toaster and a clappy monkey.
Didn't you have another rap battle? Didn't you do Godzilla versus Cthulhu?
Yeah, I did a rap battle with Godzilla and Cthulhu in issue 4.
Yeah.
And then there's a rap battle between Jeffers and a crazy mofo Nelly, who is a one of those monkeys that clap with the cymbals. There's a rap battle between him, those two, in issue 2. Issue 13, is a war comic that ends with the two sides in a rap battle.
What is this?
Well, because they're army men, but there's no fighting in this whole thing. Nobody gets shot. No guns go off. They have a dance rap battle to fight to solve their differences. So
between countries, or is it between what?
It's just between the tan guys and the green guys. Just their the clothes of their uniforms. I don't say anything about where they're from.
No, gotcha.
Yeah.
You gotcha.
Just two sides of a coin, and they have a dance rap battle to win.
You're such a dork.
I know. But it's so much fun. But I don't, have you noticed my hat?
Yes, I saw that.
My shirt.
Anthropology.
Yeah, check this.
Like, you're just going all out.
I know. Check this out.
A tattoo?
No.
Oh.
You see it?
You show us your penis. I'm leaving. Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, I got the camel on the back of the shirt.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Camelot.
I don't know what I'm doing with irons right now. It's kind of up in flux because of certain things I can't talk about yet. But yeah. I don't know if you already talked about it with them, but I want to do more with it. I have ideas and I have like a bunch of things prepped for it. But
yeah,
as of right now, I can't do anything until some dust settles.
Some dust. Have you had more conversations about?
We're talking on Monday.
Nice.
Because Monday or Tuesday, because our friend who's looking over the thing is going to get back to me on Sunday.
Yeah, that's awesome. So
we'll see.
I want to close this webpage so I don't get any more. I don't know if you heard that.
No.
Oh.
But I'm excited for your book, man. I'm excited. I made 20 ads for Supernatural Baby Detective for Instagram and Twitter and stuff.
Yeah.
I turned one of them into a video, and then I sent it to you. I'm gonna make some more.
I was just trying to be the video, but
gotcha. Yeah. And then I'm gonna make some more and stuff. And I don't know. I have a good feeling about this story in this book. I have a good feeling it's gonna catch on. It's gonna resonate with people.
But you know,
it's so unique and different, and like Ram's art is great for this story. It fits.
Yeah,
it fits so well.
Yeah.
And the colorist the colorist is like so good.
He's all right.
So good. He's the best.
But the art, the color, the pencils and inks, all of it to combine, it does fit the story really well.
Yeah.
The characters' designs came out pretty good. Came out excellent. I shouldn't say pretty good. They came out excellent. That sounds ambiguous. No, they came out excellent. Yeah, we got lucky. You know, if you haven't seen it, you can go onto YouTube and you can see our interview with Travis Webb, who just released on Kickstarter Starlight issue 6.
Yep, from Overcast Comics.
Yeah, Raver versus Trans Dimensional Wizard or
Spider Wizards.
Yeah, right? Spider Wizards. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a mouthful.
It is.
I said it on the podcast with him and Greg, and I got it right. So
nice.
I was happy. And it was the first time reading it. I was nice. Like, hit it the first try.
Yes, nailed it.
But we went over Kickstarter, and this is my first Kickstarter for Supernatural Baby Detective. So I'm really nervous. It's actually giving me anxiety.
Yeah.
Like, oh, for sure. Real. Like, my stomach is upset. I can't. A lot. You know, and a lot of it is we have the pre-launch page.
Yeah.
It only shows you the startup when 10 people or more have clicked notify me.
Yeah.
Not had 10 people click notify.
Have you shared the link? Have you shared it out?
Huh?
Have you shared the link out?
Oh, yeah, dude. Every time, all those promo videos you're sending, or all those promos that you send out have if you go to sbdcomic.com, you can go and click it. I'm not too concerned with that. I mean, it is what it is because whatever, right? Because we got to, to keep going. And the whole reason I'm bringing up Travis is because Starlight, the first one, was a banger. What I mean is it was gangbusters on Kickstarter. They raised over, they had like a goal of like 3,000. They raised over $10,000
on
that first one. Yeah. And so in his mind, he was like, oh, we're going to get it. We're on our way. And they released the second one. They raised their goal, right? They kept their prices the same and da 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 failed.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. And Ron Randall and Carl Kessel, two of your buddies.
Yeah.
Actual friends of Johnny's.
Yeah. Actual and great guys too.
Yeah. They reached out to him and said, hey, these are the steps you need to take, da 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 da. And he did those things and he repackaged it, changed a couple things. One thing they realized is the girl of the group was supposed to be like a supporting cast. That's the character that everybody gravitated towards. So everything they put her on the cover for with sales.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. People interact with da 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 da. So they repackaged it, put her on the cover, boom, redid the Kickstarter, and it passed. And they lowered it, raised some prices based on, you know what I mean? And, you know, did the numbers right. And then it funded. So there's a part of me that's like, okay, I really hope we're able to fund. We only have a $3,000 goal. It's not.
That should be fine.
Yeah, and it should be fine. It's actually lower than my total cost of creating the comic book.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm hoping that we'll go over it to recover those costs and cover printing. And then, you know, I can handle being in the red a little bit, but
yeah,
I can't.
And you'll recover most of your costs over the course of the four issues and eventual, if you do a trade.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the goal, right?
Yeah. And not to correct you, but it's Carl Kiesel, not Kessel.
Oh, Kiesel.
We have said it wrong forever. And then one day he finally corrected me. I think Ron corrected me. And I was like, oh, I guess it is Kiesel. But yeah.
I like to get people's names right.
Yeah, me too. And I felt bad because I talked to Carl so much and said his name wrong. And he just never said anything to me.
Yeah. Cause he's probably so used to it. It's the same thing with me. Like everybody says Kendrick.
Yeah.
Put a D in my name, and I'm like, I don't have a D in my name. I don't even know why you put it in there.
Right.
I said Henrik.
Sadie's first name is Regan, which is your last name, and it's always Reagan.
Yeah. Well, you know always. What? That didn't happen until Ronald Reagan became president, and then everybody started saying Reagan.
But it's spelled different. There's no A.
One word, one letter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I get it why people say Reagan, because And certain parts of Ireland says Reagan for the way that we spell it. It's O'Reagan instead of, you know, in some places say O'Regan. And so I don't know. That doesn't bother me as much. Mostly I hated it because I didn't want to be compared with Ronald Reagan.
It bothers the crap out of Sadie, though. She hates it.
Oh, yeah. Well,
she gets upset every time.
I tell her, I said, well, how do you say R-E-G-A-E-C-T? How do you say R-E-V-E-R-B? It's re.
Yeah.
It's reverb. Regan.
I guess.
I mean, but it's true.
It is.
You know, so I get it. But anyways, so I don't know if a total that see that squirrel just went by.
Yeah.
But the whole thing was he repackaged it, put it back out, and it passed. You know what I mean? It got funded for Starlight number 2.
And it's a great comic because I was actually had the privilege of reading the script before they ever started issue 1.
Yeah.
Travis and Greg reached out to me and they sent me a copy of the script to read. I think I read the first 7 issues in script form.
Yeah. It's a great concept.
It's changed. Okay, fine.
Killing me. I was just saying. It actually made me feel good. His failure made me feel good.
Yeah.
Because it just showed that, hey, you know, maybe there's a couple things that you didn't tackle the right way to get people going, you know, because I can't see anybody reading it not going, oh, that's either it's a funny concept, it's a good concept, or, you know, like I love, you know, I don't know, maybe either you love it or you're not.
It's going to be a love or hate thing. And I think it's going to be more on the love side, but yeah, I think so, because we hit a lot of the, like, I think we're hitting, at least for me, we're hitting a lot of the things that it's going to gravitate and pull people in. It's supernatural. People like that. It's, you know, horror esque. It's
there's scenes of extreme horror.
Yeah. It's silly in the fact
not really graphic.
Yeah.
Well, like one scene is kind of graphic, maybe two scenes.
Now let me finish, Jesus.
Sorry.
But it's silly in the fact that there's a concept of a man becoming a baby and being a detective that detectifies supernatural shit.
Yeah.
But none of it's done in a comical fashion. It's done the way that's taking itself kind of seriously, but not too seriously, you know? Like, in the world, this is okay.
Yeah, you know. So stupid. I honestly thought I was going to be doing Look Who's Talking with a supernatural twist, and that's not what came out.
No, it came out as something way better.
So dumb. I love it.
And issue one, this first issue, it's a really good setup, right? It sets up the world. It sets up Frank and who he is, where he's coming from a little bit, and kind of like where it kind of gives you a hint of where this is going without giving anything away, you know?
Yeah.
Because it ends on two notes. It ends on the note of where the bad guys are coming and going from and where the good guys are. It kind of, you hit both aspects in the last four pages, you know?
Oh.
Without giving it away, like it very much is a good lead in issue to a series, you know? Because it tells you what you need to know about this world, which is great. So I'm excited to keep going. And I actually...
You read issue two already.
Yeah, I read issue two and I like it. I'm excited to see it get done, and I have ideas.
It takes a different tone.
It does take a different tone, and I think it's good. I think it's a good tone switch. It has to. You have to.
Yeah, I can't keep the same. I can't. It's gonna be. It's still gonna be noir overall, but issue two is not noir.
Yeah,
it really isn't. There's aspects.
It's noir-esque, but it has that genre. Based upon the tone of how issue two is to tell that story, it can't really be full noir, you know?
Yeah. Issue two kind of sets up some things in the past.
Yeah.
And brings some things into the present.
Yeah. I've been excited for this series since you first told me about it or pitched it to me. And, you know, after reading the scripts and doing all the stuff, I have ideas for other stuff too. Then I'm like, I want to write this stuff too. But who knows what happened with that.
I think it helped you get your creative juices flowing back.
It kind of did, yeah. Because I was like, I want to get back into writing and creating stuff. And then seeing this go through, I'm like, this is really good.
Funny thing is, during the interview with Travis, I think I learned more talking with Travis and Greg than they are getting out of us promoting their book.
Well, we're promoting it on another episode. So go back Starlight 6 on Kickstarter.
Well, we'll link it. We'll link it down below. Yeah. You really should watch it. It's a good episode. But, you know, they work together. They co-write that book together.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, with my book, I originally was going to co-write it with Johnny. And I wrote the script, the first one, and then I sent it over to you. And then I just couldn't let go. You wanted to make changes based on your ideas of things, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't let go.
Yeah, I know.
How do you get over it? And I think it's just because it's my first real
baby
whole thing, you know? Yeah. I've written short stories, I've started things. So it's not like it's my first rodeo on doing everything,
right?
But our first comic book, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, like, ego took over, I think. I mean, that's the only way to explain it.
I mean, for sure. I get it.
It's all ego. And I was like, I can't let it go. And then I was like, no, I'm taking it back. I just have to do this. And then, you know, and I was like, how do you get past that? And he was like, you just got to put it out there and then accept the changes that somebody makes, you know? And then go through and go back, and because it's going to be a give and take anyways. Greg has done many written things out, and Travis just goes on and just rips it out.
Yeah,
you know, and it is what it is, and then you just move on. You have to be cognizant. I think you just, and I was like, okay, because there's other projects that we're going to be working on.
Yeah, some really fun ones.
Yeah, and so, and that's why we have one. I don't want to give it away because I feel like it's not unique in the fact of what the genre it is. I think it's unique in the way that it's being told.
Yeah, that one's gonna be fun.
Maybe, I don't know. Anyways, that's why I'm like, you write the first script. I gave you the outline. I gave you the concept and the story and I don't know how you call the past character. It sets up the whole, it sets up the whole universe.
Right.
And then what our main character is today moving forward. Well, I guess it wouldn't be today because it takes place in 1988.
Yeah. in the today of the world it's in.
Yeah, the present.
Yeah,
it's present. So you have all those, and then I'm like, okay, you do that, because that way, yeah, I'm not going, you know, because I think in my head I start outlining everything out, and then I know, like, I already know where most things are going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I've already outlined it. I already know what I want it to go. And if I have somebody else start writing things towards it, and then little things can completely
derail. Right. Yeah.
Should have took that left turn at Albuquerque.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's, I don't know what I'm doing either. You know, I just do what I do. Yeah. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing with anything, but creatively, I just create and it's fun.
Yeah.
But yeah.
We have, so we've set up SV Comics.
Yeah.
Spoilerverse Comics. And really, it's just, I mean,
it's you and me.
Yeah, it's just us. But the name is out of laziness.
And I like it. It has a cool logo.
Yeah, and it has a cool logo. But I mean, it's just that we already had, like, the domain. We had a lot of stuff already there. So let's just, and
we had another name we scrapped, though.
Yeah, Dumbass Comics. DA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I thought was brilliant in a lot of ways. But it's just, you know, it is a lot to deal with. And that's, and the logo looks really good, you know. And so people, I don't know if you're interested in what happened, is we were doing Spoiler Country, this podcast. We've been doing it since 2017. We have, like, over how many episodes? 800?
Almost 900 now, yeah, total. God.
And that's an insane amount for six fucking years already.
Dude. Yeah, that's insane.
That's weird. So, but it's a weird, it's, we got burnt out.
We did. And the show went in a direction that we didn't really, not that we didn't want it to go on, but it got, the show kind of took over itself.
Yeah.
And it became more about interviews and less about conversations.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just became like, well, who's on today and who's on tomorrow? Yeah. And we don't, like, we love interviews.
Yeah. Well, I love conversations. Like, I love bringing people on and having a conversation. I don't really want to, like, ask people a bunch of questions, like, tell me about your life. Where do you get the inspiration from? I want to, like, have natural conversations. And if those things come up, perfect. But I don't like conversations on our podcast that are, like, seemed scripted or contrived. Like, I'm going to ask these 10 questions to you, you know? I like it to where it's like, hey, come on, we'll talk about Superman. And if you have a book, we can talk about your book a little bit at the end or whatever, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
That being said, we are going to be having more Kickstarter people on, because the indie scene is a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, I'm totally cool bringing on indie people and, like, talking to them, because I want to support where we're indie, and indie people need all the support they can get. Yep. And I'm totally fine bringing any people on for a quick interview and talking about their book and helping promote them.
It's a passion project for everybody. Yeah. That's more
you don't make any comics to make money.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
Yeah. You make any comics because you have a story to tell and you want to see it out in the world. That's what
I'm literally planning to be in the red.
Yeah.
It's a successful Kickstarter. Dude.
So Ains funded for like $5,400, right? Funded at $5,400, something like that. And even after all of that, I'm still in the red, like $3,000.
Yeah.
In that book. Because I paid every artist and writer up front out of my pocket.
So people who don't, if you supported Ains and if you haven't gotten your book, contact Johnny. He'll make it right.
Yeah. I had a lot of issues and emailed people out.
You had health issues at the time. You had some family issues at the time. And then the printer that he had an agreement with went out of business and they just stopped communications.
Yeah. I got fucked for a little while.
Yeah.
And I do have a couple books to mail, some of the hardback sketch covers.
Yeah.
That I've got it to work on this next week or so to get them mailed out. So I've already contacted those people, and so they know it's coming.
Yeah.
But if I haven't contacted you and you haven't gotten a book yet, just j@whattosell.net, shoot me an email and I will get you out a book as soon as possible. I know Paul from Everything Horror Podcast has not received this book, and I have mailed him 3 books. And he has not received any one of them yet. So I'm gonna send him with, like, certified mail or some shit, and so we can see if he gets it. For some reason, I have mailed him like 2 or 3 books, and he still has not got a book. What's that?
Book. I got a buyer. $200. It's yours.
He's reselling. No. And what really sucks about him not getting the book is he was the first backer.
Oh,
he was the first person to back Irons, and he has not received his book yet.
Yeah,
and it's
how about Casey's mom?
They all got their books. As far as I know, Casey's family all got their books and their and the stuff they bought. As far as I know, But I mean, there was a lot of issues why I didn't, why Irons took so long to ship out, and I feel bad about it.
Yeah,
but like. To go with what Kendrick said, to add on to it too, I went through a pretty bad depression over COVID, and after COVID, and I didn't really get out of that until December of last year.
Yeah.
When I started getting therapy and seeing things for shit.
I started writing Supernatural Baby Detective.
Yeah, exactly.
The correlation? I don't know.
Maybe. There might be. But like, there's a lot of things that kind of just like, I just like said, fuck it, and didn't do anything for a while. So I didn't write anything. I didn't draw anything. I didn't create anything. I just shut myself off from everything with head to the podcast and work. But that's through that now. And I'm working hard to get things back in order.
Well, now you're creating.
Yeah. We
reset on the podcast, which was good for both of us.
Oh, yeah.
And you've lost 120 pounds. So your health is way better. You're back.
Oh, yeah.
Back that was my thing. You went through two back surgeries during that time.
I went through a back surgery. And, no, I went through one back surgery, and then I went through an
but it was a crazy infection. It wasn't like, hey, I mean, it wasn't like in and out. It was in, and then you're stuck in bed for weeks.
And then after that, I healed, and then 6 months later, I had an infection in my spine.
Yeah.
That I had to have a PICC line put in my arm to put daily antibiotics. I had a nurse come over to put antibiotics in my body and check it all the time. Yeah. And I did that for 3 months, and that was horrid.
Crazy amount of things.
Yeah. You know, I couldn't walk for a while.
I've taken some calls of people being mad about that whole thing with seeing. I'm like, I get it. People, you know, I the only thing I wish I could have got you to do was just done something like this.
Yeah.
You weren't ready to talk about it.
I had a hard time talking about this stuff.
Yeah.
Especially the depression aspect, especially, you know, like the being depressed and like just because of the back surgery and shit, I just kind of gave up.
Yeah.
You know, and
I'm glad you're back.
Yeah. Me too.
In a real way. Not just like, hey, I'm here, I'm doing whatever. I'm going to do the bare minimum for you.
No. I mean, I've lost a bunch of weight to get healthier. My whole life has changed, everything, you know. So wrap that all up. If you haven't got your Irons book, reach out to me. I will get you a copy, and I'll make it right.
We'll make it right.
We'll make it right, because I've got so many more projects coming out, and I don't want to start any new Kickstarter until I know people have gotten their shit for me, at least. Yeah. I mean, I'm a part of yours, but I don't want to run another Irons or a Jolene and Only one until I know everybody's gotten their shit, and I'm not worried about them saying, oh, well, I haven't gotten my shit for this yet. Why are you doing a new one? You know, kind of stuff.
It made me depressed for you because you had just did this giant amount of work. You had to coordinate with all these artists, all these
around writers, the world,
around the world. And then you had that one writer do plagiarism. You had to deal with that. And that
sucked.
Because it was like, it's an uncomfortable conversation for one. Two, that guy could have totally screwed you over. You know what I mean?
The crazy part about that whole thing was the guy who plagiarized, he plagiarized from another writer who wrote a story for Irons.
Yeah. That's how you found out, right?
I found out because I had a Google Drive that I would let all the writers of the book read every other script so they'd kind of know what was going on. And this one writer, the guy who got plagiarized, read the script and he was like, hey, I don't know how to tell you this, but that's my story. He just changed the names. And he sent me a copy of the story that he had already been published, and I compared it back and forth. I had other people read it, and it's the same story. And I'm like, so I sent this. I sent this very uncomfortable email to this guy, and he never responded to me.
Yeah, I mean that's crazy. So you had to deal with that, and then the surgery, the infection, the printing people going out. It was just like a boom. I felt bad for you. I wish I was like, I don't know, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I mean, and you and Travis and Greg and Casey, you guys did your damnedest to like remind me and keep me and trying to get me to do it and ship stuff out, but I failed hard on that one. I just failed.
Not it, but you got it done. It might have took longer than you wanted it to, but it's done.
Yeah.
So,
well, besides the couple of hardback sketches I have to get done and get out next week, but if I die, it's all done.
That's good. That's good stuff. I mean, it's you know, this too shall pass.
Yeah.
I love that phrase.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, I always took it as a, like some kind of Bible phrase, you know?
Yeah.
So I didn't get it. And then, I mean, I just didn't. And then I was listening to somebody talk about things and it's like, oh, it was Tom Hanks.
Mm.
Tom Hanks. I watched an interview with Tom Hanks and he talked about how that was like one of his favorite phrases and why. And then he went through, oh, you're having a good time. You're having success. This too shall pass.
Yeah.
Oh, your mom just died and you're going through a deep depression. This too shall pass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah.
Holy shit. He's totally right.
Yeah.
You start going through, you're like, oh, this will pass.
Yeah.
No matter how much you think is going on, this too shall pass.
Eventually it'll pass through and you'll be good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you see my, did you see this bike here?
I know. That's cool. Little irons.
The irons and both printed Jolene Only's up there.
Where did you get the Jolene Only's printed out of?
So I just hit him at Kablam.
Where?
Kablam.com.
Oh, okay.
Just because they're
print on demand kind of thing? Or?
Yeah, they're print on demand. They're quick. It's also if you want to list on Indie Planet, you have to upload through Kablam to get to any, because it's the same company, whatever. And I just ordered these as proofs because they're if I was ordering a big run, I probably wouldn't order them from them because it's
expensive.
Well, it's like $2.50 a book or something like that, or $2.80 a book. I can't remember for a 24 page book. But I just ordered 10 copies to do something we talked about. I'm not gonna say here, but
yeah.
And they I mean, I'll give them this. The quality is amazing. They look great. Because my book, these books, this one has photos in it, right? Not just art. And the photos come out looking great too.
Oh, nice.
So it's a great quality. But if I was gonna print like 1,000 copies, I would probably go to like somebody else who can get me under the $2 mark, you know.
Right.
And I don't I shouldn't even say this. I don't even know if their mark is under $2 for 1,000 because it goes down by quantity. Yeah. I just know I paid like for 10 copies of the book with shipping, I paid like $40, you know?
Oh, I guess that. I mean, because they have to set it up.
Yeah.
They have to set up the files, they have to do everything. I mean, that's not that bad.
For 10 copies, it's not that big of a deal. I just did it because I wanted to have a copy in hand.
Yeah.
Two, I had an idea of how to sell those 10 copies as something unique for a comic that's currently only the digital.
Yeah.
And three, I wanted to get up on Indie Planet to get over there, but there's a huge backlog. So it's a whole nother story. But yeah. So I've got those two. And then
you got it up on comics.one as well, right?
Yeah, it's on comics, but those are both on Comics One. And then issue three is up there to pre-order on Comics One.
comics.one.
Yeah. .one. Yeah. Their site's great. I love their site.
Yeah.
And I have a list. It's up on, and they're up on whitetosail.net. They're up on spoilerverse.com and they're up on a bunch of other digital comic retailers out there. Pretty much you name it, they're up there. I put them wherever. It's on Amazon. You can look for it there. I've actually sold a couple on Amazon, which is kind of crazy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Nice. I don't get a lot of money out of it because it's like $2, you know, but then they take their cut, but I sell something. So,
I mean, I get that Amazon needs to take, I mean, they're hosting, they're doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
Like it should be. I don't know. To me, it should be like the most minimum they need.
Yeah. You know?
But they don't. They take a huge, they take basically all of it.
Yeah. And with the quantity of things that are up there, they can make money off the quantity, not off of one, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, how much do they get? Like out of your $2 book, what do you get? A nickel?
So I like 25 cents.
Yeah. I mean, that's
or 50 cents. I don't know. I'd have to.
They're basically taking like 90%.
Yeah, 80, 75, 90% in there. It's insane.
And it should be 70, 30. They should be taking 30%.
You know, I don't even know what it is. I'd have to look it up. I just put it up there. I didn't actually read the thing.
Yeah.
You just, like, for the most, well,
just get
to be honest, for the most part, for Jolene and Only, I just want them out in the world.
Yeah.
Like, at least, especially the first 10 issues, because the first 10 issues are already done and I'm just editing them, making them better and getting them out there, and I want to get those 10 out so I can get issue 11 on, where it actually becomes, in my opinion, a better comic, right? And So for these first 10 issues, I'm just getting it out there wherever I can to get.
Why don't you just put the first 10 in a big TBB?
Well, I'm going to, but I wanted to do I wanted to do releases for each issue.
Gotcha.
Each issue has its own thing, and I, you know, it's but yeah. Holy thing.
I get you. Nice.
Oh, so Greg, speaking of going back to Greg, he edited my novel, but he also edited issue
your prose.
What? My novel?
Your prose.
Yeah, yeah. Which he finished it, and we just finished out, and it's getting close to being pushed to publication. But
nice.
He edited issue 4 of Gentleman Only, and the intro, every book has an intro on the tech cover that I write about, like, about Gentleman Only, or about something, or about the book itself. And the issue for Gentleman Only 4, it's very comical, but it's very, like, I don't know. I don't want to, like, talk about it too much, but, like, he just coming back and say, this is fucking golden. I'm like, yeah, it is. It is.
On issue 4?
Yeah, the just the intro write up is, he's like, this is golden. I'm like, yeah, it's pretty good. I'm pretty proud of that one.
It's golden. How are you going to? So, let's talk about your prose. It makes me laugh when people say prose.
Yeah,
because it's like, why can't you just say book or novel? Right.
Yeah,
why do you say prose? No one says prose except for writers.
To be pretentious, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, have you noticed that?
Yeah. Yeah,
I didn't know. I was like, "What's a prose? Is that like a outline? Like a what do they call the gasoline copies? Or what do they call the comic books that are
ash cans?"
I was like, "Is that like an ash can? Is that what you're trying to? Is that what that is?" And then I literally had to Google it one day. This is like 15 years ago, whatever. And last I was night. Like, "Yeah, not last night." But it was like prose is a not, and I was like. Why didn't you just say novel?
Yeah, just say novel.
Yeah.
That's fine.
It's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway.
But let's talk about your prose.
Okay.
So memoirs. Is it memoirs?
It's memoirs of a suicide.
Yeah. Memoirs of a suicide. I want to say memories, but it's memoirs of a suicide. How are you going to publish this? Is this going through a company? Have you looked into that? Are you self-publishing?
So
you can publish it.
This is the first time I've ever talked about this outside of friends, this book.
Oh, really?
I've never talked about it on a podcast before. I haven't really talked about it online before.
Perfect.
But this is it. So Memoirs is a book that I started writing in 2004.
Yeah.
So not to be depressing, but my nephew, Jeremy, who was the same age as me, he was my best friend, like my brother growing up. He committed suicide in February of 2004. And it hit me fucking hard, hard. And
you know, he was that depressed. Sorry.
No, I did. Jeremy had a lot of issues. He spent 8 months in a mental institution. He spent a lot of time.
He was suffering mentally.
He had a really hard upbringing. I call him my nephew. His mom is technically my adoptive sister.
Yep. Yep.
But I don't recognize her or her husband as family anymore because I just don't, for a lot of reasons I don't want to get into. But Jeremy will always and forever be family to me.
Yeah.
But he ended up committing suicide in 2004. And about 6 months after that, I started writing. I started writing this story about a guy who commits suicide.
Yeah.
And the whole idea of the story was I wanted to use this as an outlet. It was supposed to be a short story at first. I wanted to use it as an outlet to get out these emotions and shit in my head about Jeremy.
It was cathartic. Yeah.
And I wrote 4 chapters in one night, and it was about 8,000 words or something like that in 4 chapters. Mm-hmm. And then I stopped. I just didn't do anything. And then I was working on YTC all the time, taking fart jokes. Paper and shit.
Was too wet to keep writing on.
Yeah. Yeah. But then, my buddy Jeff,
thanks, Dean.
my buddy Jeff, Jeff Jensen, who is my lifelong friend since I was 5. He was my bandmate forever. He's the inspiration for the Jeffers character in Gentleman Only. He somehow found out about it, and he asked to read it. So I printed him a copy out and gave it to him. And he went home and he read it, and he drove back over at like 2 in the morning and woke me up and was like, dude, you got to finish this. I was like, why? He goes, it's fucking good. You got to finish this. I was like, okay. So naturally, I let it sit for 20 years. So actually, I would touch on it every so often. I got it, I wrote it up to like 20,000 words, and then and like by like 2011, I had 20,000 words. I was like, oh, that's about a quarter of a novel, whatever. I'll finish it. And then I just didn't touch it. And then going back to me getting out of this whole like fucking weird depression state that I've been in December, and you working on Super Great Detective, I started writing again on that. I reread the whole thing and I started writing.
Probably when I said you can't write on Supernatural Baby Detective. Well, fuck probably. You then. I'm going to finish my novel.
Yeah, probably.
Oh,
probably.
I'm sorry. It's all, I prose.
Yeah, it's all your fault. So I ended up writing it out, and then
that's my fault. I'll take that.
Yeah. So I ended up finishing it, writing 30 chapters total in three parts. It's 10 chapters, three parts. Each part has 10 chapters in it. And each part tells a different aspect of the story or a different part of the story. It's very surreal. It's very kind of fucked up. I think it ends in a good place, at least in my opinion.
I need to reread it. I need you to send me a new copy of it, because the one I read was, you made a ton of changes since then.
I have. And Greg Smith went through and edited the whole thing and helped me with some of the final stuff on it. But yeah, it's from going from a cathartic lesson to get something bad out of my head to a full length novel that tells a story that I'm actually super proud of.
That's awesome.
And it's going to be hopefully coming out soon. Right now, so Greg is my editor. He's working with me on it. We're working with deciding on how we want to release it, where we want to release it, if we want to try and pitch it to a publisher, or if we want to just self-publish it because you don't want to deal with it, you know, that kind of stuff, and how we want to do it. So it's probably going to be released sometime in 2024. I don't have a date yet. And it may be released as three novellas versus one large book. But we're still kind of pitching the idea back and forth and seeing if it works that way or not.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I have a cover. I made a cover for it.
Yeah.
I have a painting that I did that I'm using as a cover that I think fits it very well. And then,
or is that like you want to wait and reveal that at another time?
It's on my website. People already see it.
Oh,
if you give me a second, I'll pull it up. You can share it real quick.
Yeah, here. Hold on. Let me,
get it pulled up. All right. That's the cover I did.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So the painting in the middle, it's a painting I did around the same time frame this happened. And,
very Hellraiser-ish.
Yeah. The walls are on the back. It says repeatedly, "Don't let the dreams take me."
Yeah.
And repeat over and over again. And then there's, two illustrations, one of a guy being tortured and one of a demon coming out of a guy's body while another guy cries in the corner. But yeah, that's the cover I made for this that I think is very fitting for the story once you read it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like how you put the indent of the spine on the left.
Yeah. Well, it's a mock-up, so, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks good. Yeah, I'm excited for it to come out and see where it goes. Because it could be, hopefully it can be successful.
I hope so too. I have a lot of emotion behind this story, because most writers do, but I'm proud of it, and I can't wait for people to read it and tell me what they think.
Yeah.
So far I've had a couple people read the first draft, which is almost the finished draft.
Yeah. I read that.
And their response was they liked it. So that's good.
Yeah. Don't take this the wrong way. It's an easy read.
I mean, it's fine.
I don't know how to, I mean, like I read it in like a night and a half, you know what I mean? It was like, oh
yeah, that just means you liked it a lot, because you couldn't put it down.
Yeah. I did like it though. I really did. I really did like it. I really did enjoy it. You know? Yeah.
Thank you.
I know you started talking to me about it, and I was like, but it was like 2 months later, and I'm like, I don't remember. which happens. I have to read a few times for it to, I'm not that person. Like, every time you met somebody that can just like read it and then they just 20 years later, they're still talking about it. Like,
that was my dad. That was my dad. My dad had a room in our house that was 8x10 office.
Uh-huh.
The wall was lined with books, sci-fi novels, fantasy novels, and all of his comics books were in there. He had read every single one of them, and you could take any one of them out and show them the cover, and he could tell you the story.
Yeah.
including all the comic books. And my uncle Dick didn't believe him. And so when I remember when I was a kid, Uncle Dick went in there with my dad and was just grabbing comic books out of random boxes. And my dad would tell him that one's about this, that one's about that, that one's, and he'd tell him the story. You grab books, and I was like, yep, that's about that. There's, but my dad could also read a novel,
yeah,
in like an hour.
Yeah.
Like he would read like two books a night.
Yeah. 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 But so, my whole side of the family, my mom's side specifically, all readers.
Yeah.
All, like, you know, I was reading at a very young age. And that's all we did. My brother's a reader. Both my sisters were readers. My mom's a reader. My dad wasn't so much. He was a technical manual reader. You know what I mean?
Nerd.
Yeah. Total nerd. And but I, you know, we always read. And my mom, she'd read a novel a night.
Yeah.
You know, no problem. You know?
My sister.
You know, it's weird. You know my mom's very well.
Yeah.
You know what her favorite book is?
No.
Just take a wild guess. Something that came out in the early 80s, late 70s. I think it was the early 80s.
Is it the Mammoth Hunter series?
Huh?
The Mammoth Hunter series from Gene Oliver.
Mammoth Hunter? No, I don't even know what that is.
That's my mom's favorite series.
What's it start with? What's, like, name a title of the book?
I have to look it up. Hold on.
I didn't know there was a Mammoth Hunter series.
It's Jean Owl is her name. Yeah. It's it's called The Mammoth Hunter. It's one of the books.
Oh, no. Here. This is so exciting for people.
I know. Watch us look up books.
It's from the same person.
Is it?
Yep. It's Clan of the Cave Bears.
Oh, so that's in the series.
Oh, my mom has read that book. I don't know how many times, dude.
That's so crazy. That's also my mom's favorite book.
I started reading it and I was like, this is messed up.
Yeah. Yeah. Clan of the Cave Bear is my mom's favorite book.
Yeah.
Sorry. I don't know what the series is called. Mammoth Hunters is the third book in the series. Clan of the Cave Bear is the first book in the series. But
it's funny that you kind of nailed it, though.
Yeah. I just thought, what's my mom's favorite book is Gene Owl's Clan of the Cave Bear and that whole series. Yeah, mama has all, this is the only freaking book my mom buys and reads is those ones from her.
Yeah. It's so funny. I remember seeing my mom read that book. I wonder if she would still admit it today because she's so weird about, like, things, you know, so I wonder if she'd be like, oh yeah, that was my favorite book, or she'd be like, no, but she read that book. I must have seen her read that book 20 times.
And they're big books too, they're thick.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. It just makes me laugh, that Clan of the Cave Bear. I was like,
yeah.
Then I watched the movie with Daryl Hannah. That's how and it was just so bad. Well, I shouldn't say, no, it's so bad.
It's so bad. It's bad.
It was a popular movie though.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah. It came out like 87, 86. It was a pretty popular movie.
The book was, the book came out 85, so it was still pretty new at that point.
Oh, that book, The Clan of the Cave Bear, came out in 1980.
Did it?
Yeah. May 4th, 1980.
Oh. Yeah. Well, then, there you go.
I think that might be the first, that must be the first one in the series. I didn't know there was a series of books. Yeah. It's the first book in the Earth Children book series.
It's the Earth Children series. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just so funny. I don't know why she just loved that book.
It's funny that both of our moms have the same favorite book.
Yeah, yeah, they're completely opposite people.
Oh yeah, very very different people.
Yeah, my mom's super religious.
Yeah,
my mom would say, "Oh, it's the Holy Bible," and it probably just that would she would say.
Yeah, she'd say that now.
Yeah, well, she would say it back then too. She'd say it, but yeah. I've seen my own book multiple occasions that she had it on a she read it so much the book fell apart.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a soft cover book, so you know, the spine's always, you know, glued.
Yeah. Crap.
You know what I mean? But you're right, it was
thick book.
Yeah.
It's a big boy.
Yeah. Snake boy. It's a chode.
Oh man. And on that note.
Yeah, and on that note, this chode episode is Dunsky.
You know, Spaghetti!